And I realized that Peter was in a similar circumstance that many of us often are. What is the subject matter that we need the most? When life's light becomes more dim and maybe even darkness comes into our life, when circumstances cause the spiritual and the emotional to just be at odds with each other, not knowing where to go, not knowing how to proceed, we need that message. That's the circumstance that the listeners to this letter to Peter, 1 Peter, was written toward. And his response in verses 3, 4, and 5 answered that need. And for us, they answer that need today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Life's circumstances bring a variety of emotions. Grief, a part of it because of death. Separation because of loss, certainly there. And yet the message that is always best is the message of the resurrection. It's not going to erase the grief. The pain will still be there for a while. But through Christ, we can experience grief differently. The Scripture says that those who place their faith and hope in Christ do not grieve as others do who have no hope. And that's certainly true for us today. The resurrection is God's reminder that although our suffering is real, it's only temporary. And whatever it is in our life that we need most, it's provided with the reality that we will live again. The resurrection of Jesus is that proof for us. More people saw that. More people have struggled with that reality, and there's more proof offered for the resurrection of Jesus Christ than probably any other event in our history. Eyewitnesses, firsthand witnesses, changed lives, people willing to die for the cause of Christ because they believe that he rose from the dead. And whatever they went through in our past and whatever we might go through in our future, we know we too will live again. We will live again. Where we spend eternity will be decided based upon our responses day by day in living for him. It's an historical fact, this conquering, if you will. Death had a perfect record. It was unbeatable. It was the strongest and most powerful thing that could be imagined, and Satan was able to tap into it. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ took away a power that he used over mankind. Satan was defeated and Christ came forth. Peter, in his second letter, made the observation that if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. From 1 Corinthians 15, Peter told us that we did not follow cleverly devised myths when they wrote and spoke of Jesus Christ raised from the dead. It's a fact in the past that offers hope for the future. Let me be sure we hear that and take it in. The resurrection is a fact in the past that offers hope for the future. Much being said today in religious settings. Much being described today, hoping that people will see it for what it really was meant to be. The one thing, the big thing, that would cause us to have hope and confidence in the future. And whatever the problems of our life, we praise God as Christians that He has saved us through eternity. The verses speak to that. A living hope, an inheritance that cannot be taken away, will not pass away, is there for us. It's a surety based upon the fact that it's delivered and provided by God, the Eternal One, Yahweh. And it gives us a hope and a confidence. I read a sermon a few weeks ago, and I pondered about how to approach the lesson today. When I realized that I needed to spend time on the resurrection, the whole world is thinking about it, why wouldn't we? And it's the one religious setting that we have surety of. This day was His resurrection day, as far as that first day of the week, in the time frame there, certainly. What is it that we need? What kind of approach should we take? And the reality is, when life is most difficult, this is the message. When we look at life and we believe that we've not been treated fairly, when we may at some point come to be fired because of our Christian testimony, if we find ourselves in a circumstance unable to find work and facing severe financial problems, if I have a spouse that's not a faithful member, not interested, even bordering perhaps in making life miserable for me as a Christian, maybe we've had friends in the past and we've been able to be with them and everything would be okay, but their lifestyle is very different than my new lifestyle as a Christian should be. All of those circumstances are described in this epistle of 1 Peter, every one of them. Christian slaves were being treated unfairly by their masters, even though they'd done nothing wrong. Christian wives were being mistreated by their unbelieving husbands. Many of the believers had lost former friends who were now slandering them, pointing their finger, if you will, and laughing at their newfound standard that would cause them to no longer be able to do what you used to do with us. Why, last weekend you had no problem with that. It's described in this book. Some were being threatened. It's probable that some would be martyred for their faith. And Peter, knowing all of those problems, proclaimed, "Blessed be the God who has caused us to be born again to a living hope." That's what they needed. It's what we need. And let me make a statement, and I want to be just as clear as the statement can be. If someone here is not saved, you're lost, and you're under a serious condemnation from God. One of our problems today is that we're trying to get people saved who have no concept of how terrible it is to be lost. And that's difficult. And maybe we need to go there from time to time and see that message. But if we're also trying to coax people who've forgotten what it feels like to be eternally lost into enduring hardship and living the Christian life, that's a difficult circumstance as well. I sent a slide early this week, and as I walked up here, I realized that I may have sent one other one that usually would be here for the rest of the lesson. The title of the lesson is Suffering, Are We Victims or Are We Victors? Victim or victor? How do we see ourselves? Peter describes it. Blessed be to God. A living hope. Resurrection from the dead. We're not victims. We're victors in Christ. Jesus Christ was not a victim when he went to the cross. He was a victor. He gained for us the victory. And it's something we need to be made aware of often. I need to acknowledge something. In recent years, our culture has taken a very unhealthy turn. It's embracing a perspective which predisposes our collapse under life's adverse circumstances rather than causing us to persevere through them. And the essence of this new perspective is summed up in the word victim. It's your fault. I'm a victim. It's your fault this is happening to me. It's your fault my emotions are being raised to the level of life's circumstances. Your fault. And I bear no responsibility in the matter. I'm the victim. And a large segment of our society has built an entire enterprise on this game of victimhood. The whole premise of this delicate system is that it's unsolvable. It must remain unsolvable because the problem is derived from victimhood, and it will cease to exist if the problems are solved. It may require someone to stand up and take responsibility for their actions. And so we'll present it in an environment that suggests it's unsolvable. We don't know what to do. And it forces us, if you will, to believe that we live in a circumstance to where nothing or no one is in control and no one cares about us and no one is going to help us solve these issues. And I'm just going to be a victim. Jesus Christ was not a victim. And the scripture make it very clear that Christians will be the recipients of unjust treatment because of our faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible promises that. It promises us that as Christians, life will become more difficult in those areas. And 1 Peter 1, verse 6, will be there in 3 weeks, Lord willing. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. The ESV version, and that various is the word we've seen in other circumstances, manifold, porkalos, many colors. We will go through a variety of trials in this life, but it will be there, and Christ will always be there. And as we suggested last week, faithful until the last breath, we will be with Him throughout eternity. Grace and mercy, hope, not earning but receiving based on the work of Christ in our life. There have been times in my life, perhaps in yours, the word hope had a different definition. I one time hoped that I would pass a test in order to have a grade point average that would let me qualify to get a discount on my car insurance, a requirement from my parents before I could get my license and be allowed to drive. The second of nine children, it was a luxury in many ways. There wasn't a lot of confidence there. It was wishful thinking to some extent, though it did happen. We hope for many things in our life, but it's not the hope of the Bible. Hope, as described in these verses and as depicted in our thinking as Christians, is a confident expectation. It's something that's with surety attached to it. It's something with convictions. It's something, this living hope, based upon the fact that Christ raised from the dead. And there are times when life is difficult and other uses of those words come to mind. We are encouraged to realize that because Christ raised from the dead, there is a power attached to that. And the power that raised him from the dead, wait for it, be sure and hear this, be sure and apply it in your thinking, that power that raised him from the dead is available for both us and you and others in this life. That power is available for us as Christians. And it's something we need to tap into. And it's something surely that removes this idea that Christ was a victim, that I am a victim. Rather, I have a living hope because of the resurrection power, and I one day will be there where Christ is, if I'm faithful to the cause of Christ. Verse 5, we didn't read it. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last days. Peter writing to those who still had things happening, spiritually speaking. People coming to grips with what had happened previously and coming to grips with the effects that it would have in their walk with Christ. And that's the reason his epistle is written. Salvation is the vantage point from which we must view suffering. We must see it from that perspective. And we will get through it. We will have a victory. We can depend upon God in those circumstances. Christ's resurrection is the assurance that we have a future. It's the assurance that there's an inheritance waiting for us, spiritually speaking. All Old Testament saints died without entering into the promised blessings that were there for them. The Hebrew writer 11, verse 13, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. We'll visit that principle in 2 weeks when we see the opening verses of this epistle. Peter gives a threefold description as we close. This hope is imperishable, it's undefiled, and it will not fade away. It will not lessen over time. It will not lose its effect over time. And William MacDonald says it's death-proof, sin-proof, and time-proof. And that makes us victors as Christians in our walk. Peter turned the difficult circumstances of this epistle to this living hope of the resurrected Savior and of that inheritance. It seemed appropriate for us today. What do you have waiting for you for eternity? What do you have? If you're a victor, it's accomplished through Christ. The victory's been won, and it's up to us to just grab hold of it and claim it. It's there for us. If we want to wallow in victimhood that suggests life is difficult, or I don't have the intellect, or I'm not interested, or that's not really for me yet, and all the things that might be offered that removes a responsibility that I have this moment before a living Christ, it's time to look at it differently. It's time to change. As Christians, unfaithful, to be made whole again. For those outside of Christ to realize the lost condition that you're in. And it doesn't have to be that way. So much having been done, everything provided. What's the answer? George is going to lead us in a song, and we'll make the beginning answer known while we stand and sing. 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 Stand and sing.